everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Inside Inter Miami, the Miami Herald show that's all about soccer, all about Inter Miami. And I am your host, Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor of the Miami Herald, back after a one-week absence last week and joined once again by our Inter Miami beat writer, Michelle Kaufman, who very happily is doing the pistolero move this week since we finally saw some of that from Luis Suarez. The drought is over. Two times he hits a goal. 5-0 route of that that hated Orlando City rival. And so they just don't like one another. Even now that so many new members of this team have joined Inter Miami, there's still that feud. There's still that hunger to win this game. And this was a record setter. Biggest route ever in team history against Orlando. And Michelle, talk about it. It looked like this was the dream picture come true for Inter Miami. Everything clicking, superstar scoring, and just taking an overmatched opponent apart.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what David Beckham was thinking of. This is what Jorge Mas was dreaming of when they talked about bringing big names, bringing glitz, glamour, and also a high octane offense, you know, scoring goals, to score 5 goals against Orlando, like you said, a big rival. You know, there is no love lost between these two teams. I mean, even at halftime, I don't know if they showed it on TV, but when Luis Suarez was heading to the tunnel at halftime, there was some words exchanged from the Orlando bench, including one of their assistant coaches was involved, some of their players and him. And you know, it had to be broken up. DeAndre Yedlin, who's no longer with the team, we'll talk about that. He and Busquets broke it up. So, yeah, this was a very hot and spicy rivalry. I mentioned in my story that one of the fans, a young kid, had a really funny poster. It said, our goat. And it had a picture of Lionel Messi, and then it said "Your Goat," and it had a picture of Mickey Mouse. So, anyway, Lionel Messi beat Mickey Mouse on this day. It was a very exciting game. It was really thrilling from the very beginning. Luis Suarez, finally, everybody had been waiting. There were already critics saying, "I don't know. He's looking really slow. He looks like he's laboring. He's looking like he can't move. Maybe this wasn't such a good decision." And bam, 2 goals in the first 11 minutes, both really, really nice goals, both beautiful finishes showing what he can do in the right situation with the ball delivered the right way. So that was, you know, got them off to a really good start. And then he had a chance to have a hat trick, but instead very unselfishly gave the ball to Robert Taylor. So they go up 3-0. And then Leo Messi, second half, did what Leo Messi does. And he scored 2 goals, including one with an assist from Luis Suarez, a beautiful header from a perfect cross from the left side from Suarez. So it was just, you know, it was exactly what the team wanted, what they needed after all of the anguish about the preseason tour, about the big loss in Saudi Arabia, about the debacle, the PR nightmare in Hong Kong. That seems like way, way, way in the rearview mirror. Right now, Inter Miami is in first place after 3 games. They have 2 wins, they have a tie, and they have outscored the opponents 8-1. So not only is the team scoring goals with 8 goals, but they've also only allowed 1 goal. And there had been a lot of concern about the defense of this team, and they have only allowed 1 goal in 3 games. So far, everything is really going very well for this team right now.
Yeah, the preseason tour feels like it was 100 years ago. Like almost nobody remembers, you know, this was night and day compared to that. But that second goal especially, I love the give and go between them and Gressel and Suarez. That was great to see. And ties into what you're talking about Gressel kind of finally settling in. He's going to have an interesting and pivotal role going forward too, because now with this trade of DeAndre Yedlin, he's going to have to move to the back and play an even larger role in that defensive side. That Yedlin trade, you know, unfortunately, you lose a glue guy in the locker room. You lose one of your better defenders on the team. So I guess the impact that's going to have, Michelle, what do you think on both in the locker room, but also on the field, as now you see some of the pieces moving around and a guy like Gressel having to take on a little different important role on that back end?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a big trade. You know, DeAndre Yedlin is a big player for was a big team, big player for this team in the locker room and on the field. You know, he's a guy who has a lot of experience. U.S. national team, he has speed, so he can, you know, he can move up in the attack. And he's just an experienced defender. And like you mentioned, a glue guy. This is a guy that was a unifier in the locker room. There are a lot of players from different nationalities, different languages, different ages. And DeAndre Yedlin was a leader from the moment he got here. The former coach, Phil Neville, called him the Pied Piper because everything he did, the other guys followed, even as far as meditation. He started doing meditation sessions and other players started meditating. He started doing grounding where they would walk around to get energy from the ground. It's sort of a new age kind of guy from the West Coast, and Drake Callender also. So the two of them sort of led this charge of grounding where they would walk around after practice barefoot. And then a bunch of the other players joined in that. So DeAndre Yedlin is a guy who really is, I'm sure, going to be in Cincinnati also, a locker room leader, a guy with experience from the national team. He's going to do whatever is asked of him and then some. He's a very hard worker and very good with the media. He's good at everything, you know, that's away from the field too. The reason they traded him, quite honestly, they have some other moves in mind, and he frees up $685,000 in salary. He was one of the higher paid players. So they now have $683,000 plus they got about $200,000, you know, $180,000 in GAM and in, you know, general allocation money. So between all of that, it's about $850,000 that they now have in their coffers to move forward. Federico Redondo just joined the team today. Officially, he has his visa in hand, his passport. He's ready to go. He trained for the first time today. We got to talk to him. I got a little one-on-one with him. So he is going to take a position next to Busquets. He and Busquets play a similar position, but the goal, I think, is to have him play alongside Busquets. And then Gressel moves back to right back, right winger, right back to be where Yedlin was. So Gressel will be moving to where Yedlin was. Redondo is going to be starting where Gressel was playing in the midfield, but playing close by to Sergio Busquets, because Busquets plays the type of game where he stays back. He's distributing the ball. He's looking around. He's trying to move the ball forward, but he's not a guy who's going to run around a lot. And to be honest, Redondo is cut from a similar cloth, similar mold. He's been called sort of a young Sergio Busquets type player. He's tall. He's lanky. He plays a similar style. So it's going to be interesting how the team adapts to this new look without Yedlin, having Gressel on the back right and having Redondo play in the midfield with Sergio Busquets. So it is going to be a new looking team starting this week. I asked Fede if he's ready. Is he ready to go this Thursday against Nashville? And he said, yes, he said he's ready to go. He's fully fit. He's ready to go. He's excited to get started.
Yeah. I mean, I think it plays into what we've talked about these are players who are, you know, in soccer terms, older players, and you need that depth. You need a Busquets, but you also need a younger Busquets in case something ever happens to Busquets and you're covered, because we saw what happened last year when some of these guys, they weren't, the whole Mount Rushmore wasn't put together yet, but you saw how when somebody was out, just the drop off that this team had. So there, these moves you see happening that are fortifying this team depth from a depth standpoint. And as much as it pains to lose a guy like Yedlin, that financial flexibility is good, because you just want to keep adding in this sport, in any sport, you want to keep adding, have as much those waves of talent coming one after the other. And
yeah, I think it's, I want to say something else about that, which is it's really important that they look beyond the Messi time, right? Because there's only one of Leo Messi. And of course they're going to milk that, you know, that golden, they're going to milk that cow, the golden goose, whatever you want to call him. He's a very special player. He's a very unique situation that they have him through the 25 season under contract. But what happens after that? They're trying to build a team that people are still going to want to go see. when this group of players is gone. And so they want to fill the roster with younger versions, younger players who are rising talents, who are similar in style and rising talents to these superstar players that they have right now from Barcelona. And so bringing in a guy like Redondo, bringing in Facundo Farias, who's right now injured, but you know, some of these younger guys, they want to build them up and have them for a few years. And then one of two things will happen. They will either become a superstar and stay in this league, or they will become a superstar and be very valuable and be sold to teams in Europe. And the club will then make a lot of money and be able to use that money to generate new talent and to buy new players. So, you know, they want to build for the future while also winning now. And the way, and that seems to be really what Chris Henderson and what the management and the ownership is doing is, yes, they have the Mount Rushmore, they have the Fabulous Four, but they have to build a team beyond those four for now, because how long the season is, and some of those guys are not going to play. They're not going to play 90 minutes every game for 50 or 60 games. So they need players to fill in for those guys when they're not playing. And they also need guys so that the future of the team is bright, so that everything, you know, doesn't just shut down when these guys retire.
Right. No. And so the sustainability of this franchise is definitely a long-term topic that we continue to discuss, and very important because, yeah, do you want to survive past these 2 years and still be a big name and preserve the brand that you're trying to build? And that's what these,
and especially with the new stadium, they're going to be opening up, christening a new stadium, whether that's at the end of 25 or beginning of 26, they're going to want to make a big splash. They're going to want to have a big, you know, roster and a big splash to open up the new stadium. They're not going to want to, you know, have a big giant drop off at that point. It's very pivotal point for this team after all of the battles to get the stadium. They want to have a good team when that stadium opens.
Yeah, and you need names. You need known names to do that. And some of these guys, by then, even more so, could be that, you would hope. I mean, obviously, maybe not on the level of a Messi, but who is these days? I mean, I think I'm going to make a sign next time they play Orlando. We'll put Messi with one of those greater than with a Mickey Mouse thing on the side and prove that, since they own this rivalry now. But looking forward, just what did you learn from Federico Redondo, besides from the soccer standpoint? Anything interesting about him that you can share with the viewers about your first interview with him?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that he's very young. He seemed a little bit nervous in doing the interviews. I mean, you know, he's a serious guy. He actually speaks some English, which was very impressive for a 21-year-old who has never lived in an English-speaking country. He actually was willing to accept some questions from the English language media. And, you know, he did his best with the answers, but that's more than a lot of the Spanish-speaking players have done, even guys older and more experienced than him. So he was willing to take English questions and answer in English the best he could, which I thought said a lot about him as a person, especially at his age. He comes from, you know, I don't want to say royalty, but I want to say that he comes from an incredible pedigree, an incredible genealogy of soccer in his family. I mean, his father is Fernando Redondo, who was a great player in the same position and played for Real Madrid, was a star there, played for AC Milan, you know, had a fantastic career, was considered one of the best players in that era for Real Madrid, and that's his father. And then on his maternal side, Solari is his mother's maiden name, and the Solari family is like Argentine royalty, soccer royalty. They have a long string of players who come from that family. I think I read somewhere like 14 former players or something are somehow related to the Solari family and to their family. So he comes up from a soccer family. That's all he's ever known. In fact, one of the questions I asked him in my one-on-one was, did you ever play any other sports? You know, if you were not a soccer player, what would you be? I like to ask athletes that sometimes. And most of the time they have an answer. They say, oh, if I wasn't a soccer player, I would be a tennis player. I was also very good at tennis, or I was also very good at, you know, swimming or whatever, some other sport that they liked. Basketball sometimes, if they're taller guys. You know, I ask players in different sports and different athletics, what do they do outside of the one sport? Federico said He knows nothing but football. That's all he knows. All he knows is soccer from the time he was in the crib. All he did was play soccer. He really never even played any other sport recreationally. All he knows is this sport. Like I said, his family comes from this sport, from both sides, mother and father's side. And this is all he knows. This is all he loves. This is all he plays. To be honest, it reminds me of Lionel Messi, a guy who, you know, that there isn't a whole lot that he has done in his life outside of soccer and in the sports world. This is what he does. This is what he loves. And Fede is the same. He did say that he follows the NBA. He likes to follow the NBA. Ginobili, you know, he became a fan watching the Argentine player. And he said now he's going to become a Miami Heat fan. So he said he does follow the NBA as far as American sports. And now he's going to be following MLS. What else I learned about him is that he does very much admire Sergio Busquets. They play the same position. They, you know, wore number 5 is the number that Busquets wore. It's the number that he has worn. He's going to be wearing number 55. So he's going to be double 5, which makes sense. He said that Sergio Busquets is someone who's definitely a role model, especially at the position that he plays, because they play the same position. They play a similar style. A deep lying player who, you know, is always has his head on a pivot, is always looking for the best option. He said that he really feels that the thing that Busquets does better than anyone, as well as anyone, is always looking around and find the best option. Because when you are playing at that position, your job is to assess the options right away and find the best option and deliver that option, whether the option is a long ball to Messi or whether the option is a ball to someone who will then play it to Messi. So he has to make those decisions very quickly on a dime. And that is what he's being brought in for. He's very young, 21, but he had interest from some big clubs in Europe. Bayern Munich was very, very hot on this kid and was talking to him while Inter Miami was talking to him. Bayern Munich was very, very interested in him. So that tells you the pedigree that he has and the caliber of player that he has, that Inter Miami beat out Bayern Munich to get him to come here. And he said that he came because MLS is growing, because it's a chance to play for Lionel Messi. He's very impressed with the ambition of this club. All these players that they brought in shows him that they're very serious and that MLS has grown a lot. And he wants to be part of this exciting project and part of the growth of MLS.
Yeah, and the interesting there, what we were talking about before, about the sustainability, you hear all those things and you know that Messi's the attraction right now anyway. So can they continue to sign these players down the road? I mean, obviously it's a problem for later, but it's an interesting part. But I like this mentorship that's going on there, that it's going to be interesting to follow throughout the season, how Sergio Busquets and him, you know, teacher and apprentice sort of thing, maybe a little bit on and off the field could develop there. You know, with his idol, that could be cool to watch and see how that helps his growth and progression as a player. And you know, and yeah, strategically, why wouldn't you funnel everything through Messi, whether it's through the next player, two players ahead, everything has to go to Messi. That's no surprise,
right? Although now there's Suarez, now there's two options.
Now there is Suarez. True.
You know, the teams that are coming up against them, they now have in their head that Suarez just did what he did. They got 2 goals from Suarez. They got 2 goals from Messi. So you've got a two-headed monster up there at front. And then Robert Taylor, you know, we don't talk about him that much, but Robert Taylor has, you know, has shown time and time again that he really is a very talented finisher. He can finish, he can score, you know, and when he gets the delivery that he's getting from either Messi or from Suarez, and now from Gressel. You know, Gressel looked much more comfortable in the role. And again, now he's going to have to adjust again to go a little bit further back, maybe, and on the wing to fill in where Yedlin was playing. But Gressel is a guy who's very versatile, very smart, high soccer IQ. Tata Martino has said that he played for him with Atlanta. He played on the Atlanta United team that won the MLS Cup. Gressel was on that team, was a leader on that team. And Tata has always remained very, very impressed with him as a player on and off the field. He likes the way he reads the game. He has said that numerous times. That's why he signed him. And so he's going to be relying on Gressel And then having, you know, the new Redondo, let's see what he can do with Busquets by his side. And then you've got Jordi Alba on the other side. You've got Suarez and Messi. I mean, you look at this team on paper, and it's a pretty scary team. And the
Yeah.
way that they played last summer and the way that they played against Orlando, you know, it really showed what they can do when they're, you know, when everything is clicking and everything is going right and everybody's healthy, which are a lot of three if for a
Right.
long season ahead. But if all of those things are happening, this is a very, very formidable team.
Yeah, they're not always going to be together. Like you said, sometimes things will come up, commitments, injuries, you name it. But like you said, but it's very important what we were talking about. And you mentioned, I half kiddingly said everything has to go through Messi, but it shouldn't, not necessarily, because if you're that deadly where you have three, four options, I mean, you're an opponent right now, MLS or otherwise, how do you stop this team? Because you Messi's so hard to stop one on one as a finisher anyway. If you have three other options minimum that are even close to that, that become such accurate strikers and clinical finishers, obviously they're not going to reach his level, but a Suarez isn't far behind. And then if a guy like Taylor is starting to creep up and narrow that gap and become such a deadly striker himself, I mean, there's no way when those at least when those three are up front, how are you going to beat this team? I mean, it's unbelievable how deadly they can become on the offensive end.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, their next opponent, Nashville, is a defensive-minded team. It's a team that their history in the past, their MO is, you know, they get a lot of ties. They are in the past, they get a lot of points with ties, and they're totally fine with that. They're fine. Of course, they want to win and they play to win, but Nashville over, you know, throughout history of that team has been a team that has a very specific style of play, and they often, I remember, I think last year they led the team in ties and draws. You know, they're fine with getting 1 point. They don't want 0 points. They want 1 point. And so far this season, they've played two games. They've had two ties. They tied the Red Bull 0-0. They tied Colorado 1-1. So Nashville is a very disciplined team. It's a team that plays excellent defense. You know, Walker Zimmerman is in the back there still. This is a team that is known for being able to absorb pressure and, you know, absorb the other team's best players. And Miami had trouble with them last year. I mean, they beat them, if you recall, in the Leagues Cup final, but it took 11 rounds or whatever of penalty kicks. That was a super, super close game. The game before that was also very close with them. Nashville is a team that, you know, that can make you, can make, can, you know, can really shut down another team's offense. So this is going to be a very, very interesting test for them. On Thursday, it's going to be on the road. It's going to be for the Champions Cup round of 16. This is a tournament that has a $5 million prize. And Inter Miami is already in the round of 16 by winning Leagues Cup. So they're in position that if they win four games, that club is, Inter Miami is going to get $5 million and move on to the World Club Championship and all these other things. So it's a very important tournament, even though it's just the start of the season. And for people that are just trying to figure out how soccer works, it seems kind of strange. The MLS season just started and boom, all of a sudden now they're playing a cup. You know, what is this? This is soccer. Get used to it. This is how it is. So right now is the CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's a two-legged round of 16. They play home and away. So they play away against Nashville on Thursday. Then next Wednesday on March 13th, they will play the home game.
Back on.
And then the aggregate score, you know, will figure out who moves on. But this is going to be a really tough opponent. One thing that could work in Miami's favor, I don't know because I have not seen the injury report or anything from Nashville yet, but Hani Mukhtar, who is absolutely one of the best players in recent MLS history, he's been out with a hamstring issue. So I don't know what his status is for the game on Thursday, but without him, their offense is definitely not as good as with him.
Yeah, and with the aggregate scoring, for people that maybe aren't familiar as much with that, important to do just that, to score as much as you can, because that way you make sure. I mean, you could lose the second game in theory, but if you win, let's say they win this one, I doubt it with Nashville's defense, but let's, for argument's sake, they win 4 or 5 nothing, drop the second game 1 nothing, doesn't matter. and Miami still advances to the next round. So it's all little things that's interesting because, you know, unless you've really followed the game around the world, some people still, I'm sure you get still get questions, emails of like, how does this work? How's the tiebreaker? A good one I just thought on the top of my head, a lot of people probably don't know how it works. If the aggregate score is tied, what's the tiebreaker? I think that's something that a lot of people probably still don't know. Let's tell them.
And I still know, well, every you know, tournament
I got to probably look it up too. I admit, I got to look it up. I don't remember.
Every tournament is different. That's what makes this so unique. Every tournament is different. I mean, oftentimes it's goal differential is the first tiebreaker or total goals scored. I don't know if you can look it up really quick while we're sitting here. We should have probably looked this up before the podcast. But every tournament has a different tiebreaker. It's often goal differential, which again, Miami right now in league is 8-1 goal differential, so they have a +7 differential. That would be something good to have
I didn't mean to stump everybody. It was just more like it's just funny to me that like a lot of people I think are still kind of getting used to all these differences, especially if you're not maybe an avid soccer follower, and now you are because Messi's in Miami, Inter Miami's cool now and all this stuff. But if you're the hardcore soccer fan, of course, you know. But it's interesting, too, because of that, because it does change from tournament to tournament.
It changes tournament. Yeah, sometimes it's goal differential. Sometimes it's total goals. Sometimes away goals count. So, you know, they'll count away goals more. Will be the third tiebreaker or something. Right. So if you score goals away, if you score goals in extra time, you get extra. I think in this tournament there is. I actually think when I did look initially, I think this tournament goals that are scored in extra time will be looked upon, you know, when it comes down to second or third tiebreakers. Yeah, if you scored a goal in extra time. So the more goals you score in these kind of two-legged situations, two-legged tournaments, the more goals, the better. And they're coming off a game where they scored 5 goals. So they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves right now.
Well, that Leagues Cup final last year, that shootout was, I think I might have said this in another episode, but still to me the best shootout I've ever seen. To go 11 the way it did, and not only 11, but I think we talked about this at media day, they didn't miss. Nobody missed.
Right.
Like the only stops
even
were
the goalkeeper.
Stopped.
Right.
Right.
Yes. And for Drake Callender to be the guy who, you know, for Drake Callender, the goalkeeper, for it to get all the way to him and he makes his, and that ends up being the decider. I mean, it was
amazing.
So poetic. It was so poetic, really, because Drake was such a big reason that team even was where it was. And yet he was constantly overshadowed because when you had the big three and now you have the big four, you know, Drake continues to get overshadowed sometimes. And you know, when you look at it, this team only has allowed 1 goal in 3 games. And that's with a defense that in the preseason, I know, like we said, it seems like it was 500 years ago, that preseason tour. Where did they go again? Saudi Arabia and Japan and Hong Kong. But during that tour, the defense looked very, very suspect. If you remember the games in Saudi Arabia, they gave up like 2 or 3 goals in the first 15 minutes in those games, and they lost 6-0 or whatever.
The 6-goal game that they gave up 6 goals was awful.
They gave up 6 goals. They gave up 6 goals against Saudi Arabian teams. So, you know, the defense was looking shaky. It was looking shaky. He was using 5. Then he switched back to 4. The 4 really seemed to be better. They seemed much more comfortable in the 4 in the back. Now with Yedlin gone and the new changes, I am going to be curious to see what kind of formation does Tata use against Nashville on Thursday. Will he stay with what he had, or will he swap it around a little bit because the personnel is going to be a little bit different right now? You know, one thing I wanted to point out when we're talking about the defense, let's talk about Nico Freire for a minute.
Yeah,
he played his first game against Orlando. That was his first start. And he started in place of Christoph, who had been starting since last year, the Ukrainian big, you know, sort of a big, tough wall in the back. But Freire played very, very well. Freire is, again, from Argentina. You're detecting a little theme here. Argentina, Argentina, Argentina.
No.
They're going to start wearing the blue and white striped shirts. They're going to start wearing the blue and white striped shirts one of these days. So right now in the back, when you have Tomas Aviles playing as a center back, on the right, and then the left center back, you now have Freire, who's also from Argentina. They can communicate very well together. They're both, they speak the same language. They're from the same country. They grew up learning the game in a similar style, whereas Christoph is a very different style coming from Ukraine. So Tata was asked about that after the game, the decision to start Freire over Christoph. Was it just tactical? Was Christoph injured or anything? And Tata basically said, look, this team is now at a point where there's going to be competition at every position. And, you know, right now, yes, the season is long and, you know, Christoph is going to play. This doesn't mean that he's not going to play. But for right now, it was a tactical and definitely a coach's decision to start Freire instead of Christoph. Freire is a little more mobile, a little more versatile. Christoph is more of a one-dimensional type defender in the back. So it'll be interesting to see again if Freire gets the start again at center back against Nashville, then that's going to, you know, show that that is really the direction that Tata's going, and Christoph is going to become more of a guy who comes off the bench, or when they have rotation, which, you know, they call it rotation in soccer terms, when they make, you know, lineup changes because guys are tired and they need a rest and this and that, it's rotation. Right. There is going to be a lot of rotation with this team because of everything they have. They have Champions Cup. They have MLS. They're going to have Leagues Cup later this summer. There are going to be guys missing for Copa America. And when they are missing for Copa America, other guys are going to have to step up who are not playing for their national teams in Copa America. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for everybody on this team to play. But you look at a guy even like, you look at, you know, a guy like Leo Campana. This is a guy who's a very good player. He's an Ecuadorian national team level player, and he's on the bench. You know, he's starting these games on the bench. So this is a team that is developing a lot of depth at every position, which is what Tata wants. He said he wants to have a two deep, a very good two deep team at every position so that they can rotate players without having a big drop off. And they are going to have to rotate players, whether due to injury, whether due to just fatigue, and then just absences due to other obligations that these players are going to have. It's going to be really important. So far they are showing signs that they are upgrading at every position. And I think there is more to come. I don't know who or when, whether it's going to be now or whether it's going to be in the summer window, but the fact that they gave up DeAndre Yedlin for money, what I've been told from people inside in the club is that there is another move to come.
Yeah, I think there has to be. When you give up a player like that and you're willing to sacrifice that, has to be. And you're doing it because this is necessary depth. That's really what it is, as you mentioned before. So a lot of moving parts, but you need to have quality parts to be able to make it all work. And I think this team is getting a little closer and a little closer to having that, where they're going to have the depth to ride out all these tournaments, all these big events, and do what they're trying to do, build this brand, load up that trophy case, and get the image as high, as prestigious as possible by the end of the season of what could be a dream season if it keeps going the way it's going. But it's very early. It's only been not even a handful of matches yet that really count. So let's see how they do. Like you said, a good test coming up, two tests back-to-back weeks with Nashville home and away. So let's see how they do in that opening round.
And then Montreal in the middle. Yeah, and
Montreal
they have three games
in the middle,
over
true.
The next week.
Three games over. There
Montreal
you go.
Sandwich
there
in
you
the
go.
Middle. Yeah, so there's they're going to have, over this week, they're going to have, over the next 9 days, they will play Nashville. Then they're going to play Montreal at home on Sunday. Then they play Nashville at home on Wednesday. And then they're on the road 3 days later at DC United. So when we talk about having to rotate, and by the way, the Argentine national team has a couple of friendlies coming up, and Messi is expected to play in those, which means he would not be playing if he does play in those.
Yep.
He would not be playing at the game that's in New York on the 23rd against the Red Bulls. So already Messi would be missing his first game on March 23rd if he plays with the Argentine national team. They are friendlies to prepare for Copa America. So if he plays in those two games, one's in Philadelphia, one's in California. If he plays in both of those, he would miss probably almost certainly the New York game on the 23rd. So already we're going to see some obligations and some things that other guys are going to have to step up. And maybe that's where Campana will get the start then against, you know, with Suarez alongside if Messi's gone. So these are the things we're going to be watching for going forward is, you know, how many games can they all play at the full roster? And then how are these other guys going to be able to fill in the pieces?
Definitely. And we will be there to document it all for you. We will be here on this show, I should say, to document it all for you. Michelle will be there at the very least in Fort Lauderdale when they're.
Oh, I'm also going to be in D.C.
DC, though. I'm traveling. That's right. That's true.
I'm traveling to D.C. Yes. And I'm traveling to New York. So
thank goodness.
The Miami Herald will have you covered home and away for the entire month of March. The Miami Herald will have you covered home and away, every training, every match, home and away from now till the end of March. So this is where you need to tune in. We are your one stop for all coverage of Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and everybody else that is on this team.
Michelle is always your one stop, ladies and gentlemen, watching this with the pistolero guns going. But I will say this, in this day and age, very good that we can have her going on the road to be there in person because, as we know, much better when you're right there and can be on the scene and get everything. You know, what a concept, right, Michelle? So it's almost like a lost art these days. Everything's so
we used to go to every game. Yeah. In sports writing, we used to travel to every single road game for every single team. And now because of the finances, we can't do it anymore. Yep. But there is definitely something lost. Watching a game on TV and covering something off TV is nowhere near the same as being there in person, getting to see things before, after, during, talking to people behind the scenes, everything that you get, FaceTime with the players and the coach so that they get to know you and they get to trust you and you get to really know what's happening behind the scenes. Because our job is to be able to provide more than what any fan can just get off TV. So, you know, the idea is to develop the expertise. And the only way to do that is to be present and to be there and to speak to people. So I'm very glad that I will be able to be on the road for those two games and hopefully many more going forward.
There you go. Well said. And on that note, for Michelle Kaufman, I'm Andre Fernandez. Remember, you can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, all those podcatchers if you're listening, and of course here on MiamiHerald.com and on YouTube. Until next week, when we have another episode of Inside Inter Miami for you, we'll see you then and enjoy the games, everybody.